What's up, party people? I wanted to use that line because I heard it at a comedy show over the weekend. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Young, Black, and Opinionated. I'm your host, Christina Royster. Make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening today, and you can follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast. And speaking of following and subscribing, I'm wondering if I should start a newsletter. Let me know what y'all think about that. Definitely send me an email at helloybo@gmail.com or a DM on Instagram and Facebook at the YBO Podcast, and let me know your thoughts about starting a newsletter. I think I would share, you know, everything from what I'm listening to a Black-owned business to support this week or whatever, you know, more of like lifestyle content. So let me know what you think about a newsletter. But in the meantime, keep it locked right here because I'm going to be talking on this episode about everything that's going on in the news, what to watch. I'm going to put y'all on to a couple things, a couple health initiatives, and this is all about Black history. So let's get into it. All right, y'all, before I dive into the pop culture news and what have you, I just wanted to pay my acknowledgement to Tyre Nichols. And I'm kind of tearing up because I was just, you know, pulling up my notes for this episode. And I'm referencing a New York Times article, and they just have these five Black cops' faces up here. And they just look like some regular old Black dudes. But deep down inside, these are some very, very violent, hateful criminals. And I hope they rot in prison. I don't care if they're Black. I'm even more devastated that they're Black. Like, I hate to say this, but when it's a white cop, we kind of expect it. It's really, really sad when it's our own people. And this is just that blue uniform going to somebody's head and getting a little bit of power and abusing that power. And I'm just reeling right now because stuff like this just keeps happening and we just don't do nothing about it. And well, I feel like they're going to do something about it now because they're Black. I feel like all five of these dudes are going to jail. I hope so. Yeah, they've already been fired. So that's more than we've ever gotten when it was a white cop. But I'm just really devastated that, again, a traffic stop gone wrong. How does a traffic stop end with somebody dead? I don't understand at all. They said that they pulled him over for reckless driving. So let me do the whole timeline, you know, just so we're all caught up to speed. This is as of February 1st, 2023. So we know that on the night of January 7th, Tyre Nichols, a 29-year-old Black man, was pulled over in a traffic stop in Memphis, and he was beaten by police officers for roughly 3 minutes. And they pulled him over because they said it was reckless driving. So, again, not sure how reckless driving turned into Mr. Nichols went to the hospital in critical condition, and 3 days later he died. These five police officers, who are all also Black, as I said, they have been fired, and they were charged as of, this says last week, but whenever you're listening to this, just know that they were charged with various felonies, including second-degree murder. And so this was all caught on tape, body cams, over an hour's worth of footage. Even President Biden has watched it in its entirety. I'm not sure why they threw that in there, because what is he going to do? What is he going to do? Can we get some fucking police reform? Like, I don't understand. I don't even want police reform. It's abolish the police for real. And that's on period. Like, it's really abolish the police, because it doesn't matter if you're Black or white, that blue uniform. But the funny thing is, blue lives don't matter when they're Black. I'm sorry. So y'all do all that for what? You clearly, I'm just devastated. That's all I can say. I can't even get my words across. So I'm sorry if y'all hear me banging on the table in the background. I hope the producer can edit that out, because I'm just so frustrated with the fact that Black men can't make it to 30. Black men can't even make it to 30. This man was 29 years old. Like, I'm so sad for my community, losing black fathers, losing black sons. I believe they said that Tyre Nichols actually had the same birthday as Breonna Taylor, and their moms sort of bonded over that. I don't want black mothers to have to bond over this. I'm devastated. And yeah, black on black, this is the stereotype. They want the stereotype. They want the black on black stereotype. And they just fed right into it. So when I see these guys' faces, and please know their names. Please know their names. Tadarius Bean, Demetrius Haley, Emmett Martin III, Desmond Mills Jr., and Justin Smith. I hope they all rot in hell. I hope they all go to prison. They are looking at second-degree murder, aggravated assault, aggravated kidnapping, official misconduct, and official oppression. Oppression. Wow. Because we're already not oppressed enough. Like, this whole situation really reminded me of Rodney King. So, yeah. I'm just devastated, and I just wanted to say that at the top. Like, I hope that these cops get what they deserve for the murder of Tyre Nichols. Now let's get into Put Y'all On. My Put Y'all On for this month is just going to be y'all health. I probably already said that before, but specifically, I believe February is Heart Health Month. So bringing awareness to that because it does affect Black communities more often. And another disease that I want to put y'all on to that affects Black communities more often is sickle cell disease. Now, my mother actually told me that I carry the sickle cell trait. So apparently, if I were to have a child with a partner who also carries the trait, our child might have sickle cell disease. So this is really a painful disease. You know, I actually got the chance to hear the story of a young man. He's 26 years old from Philadelphia. He was born with sickle cell disease. And he said, you know, it's been tough. You know, he's had his moments, but he's powered through. But really, the only cure for sickle cell disease is blood transfusions. So he's been having blood transfusions since, like, birth. So let me just tell you a little bit more about what I learned from a webinar with the American Red Cross. The American Red Cross launched the Sickle Cell Initiative as of April 2021. And it's kind of like an enterprise-wide campaign to really increase the number of Black blood donors by the end of December 2025 to help eliminate the gap in, you know, their ability to meet hospital demands and provide the most compatible, you know, blood for patients with sickle cell disease. Because they say, because I'm listening to this webinar, right, you know, trying to learn a little bit more about sickle cell, and I'm listening to this webinar. And she's like, we need more Black blood donors. We need more Black blood donors. And I'm like, can't anybody just donate blood? Like, what's the difference between, like, Black blood and Caucasian blood? But it really turns out that it's essential that the blood that, you know, patients receive be the most compatible match possible, which generally comes from someone of the same race or same ethnicity. So I did not know that. And today, there aren't enough blood donors to meet this urgent need because they say that, you know, Black people make up 13% of the U.S. population, but less than 3% are blood donors. So I'm putting y'all on to, you know, donating blood. We need more Black blood donors. If you're not familiar with, like, you're like, what the hell are you even talking about, Christina? What is sickle cell disease? Sickle cell disease is also commonly known as sickle cell anemia. Sickle cell disease causes red blood cells to be hard and crescent shaped, like a sickle, instead of soft and round. So as a result, it's difficult for blood to flow smoothly and carry enough oxygen to the rest of the person's body, which I said can really cause severe pain, organ and tissue damage, and even strokes. So definitely get checked to see if you have the sickle cell trait, because it is very common in Black people. And also, if you are of African-American descent, please donate some blood. But you might find out that your blood is 25% European. And I will get into that in just a second because I learned that in a documentary that I was watching this week. Before I get into what to watch, what y'all need to watch is y'all emails and stay close to it and keep a close eye for ticket information for these Beyonce tickets, okay? That's what I need y'all to watch. I need everybody to sign up and keep a close eye and let me know when you get the scoop on these tickets because Beyonce's coming to town, y'all. Riding on her rodeo. Riding like a rodeo. And I'm going to enjoy it. My boyfriend was like, I ain't going to that Beyonce concert with you because it's just going to be a bunch of people duck walking in the aisles. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I will be one of them because I told y'all my obsession with this album. This album, like, really was just, like, liberating to me. I love to dance. I know people have their feelings about Renaissance. It wasn't Beyonce's best album, whatever. I've never been to a Beyonce concert, so this will be my first one, and I really, really want to get those tickets, y'all. She's coming to Philly July 12th. She had to make it on a work day. I'm about to just call out the whole week, for real. She made it on a Wednesday. But yeah, we are in there. Beyonce, this is how you start Black History Month. Thank you, Beyonce. Although, it's kind of rude to also do it when we got rent due. But I'm going to still give everything I got to this show. I don't care if I got to sit in the nosebleeds. I don't care if I got to sit in the parking lot. I'm going to be up in there. So yeah, Beyonce is coming to town, y'all. And who else is coming around? Eddie Murphy. I wanted to talk about You People. I wanted to talk about what to watch. Eddie Murphy. This was really a great performance from everybody all around. But specifically, I just never seen Eddie Murphy like so calm. I love Eddie Murphy. He did a great job. I don't understand why this movie is causing such a stir. I don't know why it's got 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm starting to think people just don't like Kenya Barris. Kenya Barris is the director, producer, writer of this movie. And also he's behind Blackish. And he also has a show on Netflix called Black AF. I personally thought it was cute. It's just a little, you know, family mockumentary. But people just be hating on him for some reason. So I enjoyed You People. I thought it really touched on everything that's going on in today's society. Really, the focus was Black people and Jewish people coming together. Lauren London, I love to see Lauren London. Y'all, my mama came for Lauren London's weight. Like, ooh, that girl got thick. Okay, and, like, I'm just happy to see her after she was, you know, grieving Nipsey Hussle. Like, I'm glad to see her. And so what, she put on a little weight. She looks cute. Literally every look was hitting. Like, she's just my favorite person ever. And so she played Amira, and Amira ran into Jonah Hill's character Ezra. They fell for each other, and then, you know, all hell breaks loose because Amira is Muslim, Ezra is Jewish, and their families are just so cringy. Nia Long plays her mom. It was great to see Nia Long in there. But their families are just so cringy. And everything that they said, like every line for line, was hilarious because it was real life. Like, my favorite scene is when Eddie Murphy was riding with Jonah Hill in the car and he put on Niggas in Paris. And Jonah Hill was like, oh, it's my favorite song. He's like, oh, this is your favorite song? Like, what do you have in common with it? He's like, you know, just like camaraderie. And he's like, what's the name of this song? And he was like, I don't know, Amigos in Paris. He was like, no, I don't think that's it. He's like, well, I think one of us can probably go to Paris, but I don't think you can go to Paris. It was hilarious. Niggas in Paris, man. Ugh, that was Kanye BC before crazy. Well, he was always crazy. But anyways, back to, yo, I was just, not to get sidetracked, but I was just saying this week, like, interesting how when Kanye's being Kanye, he's all in the news and he's got something to promote and then he just falls off. Or maybe something bigger in the news happens, which we clearly have had a lot going on recently. So people aren't covering Kanye right now, but I hope they don't continue to cover him. Let's talk about what to watch instead. And Eddie Murphy and You People, that is a great watch. I really enjoyed it. So check it out. It's kind of like a buddy rom-com. It really just hit on a lot of different racial issues today. So I enjoyed it. And now let's talk about some series I'm watching as well. BMF, that is on Stars. I think I've told you guys about it before. Although I'm not sure where it's going to go after this season because 50 Cent is behind this show and he did pulled his content from Stars. Well, the content's still there now, but he's done his contract with them. So he said he wants to own his own content, and I completely agree. Next thing you know, we might have a 50 Cent streaming service. I don't know. He's got enough shows to have his own service at this point. But I could see him on HBO or something. But in the meantime, BMF is still streaming on Stars, and this is all about the Black Mafia family. This is about the drug scene in Detroit, 1980s. Two brothers, Terry and Demetrius Flannery, they were like literally like Black mobsters. But the difference was, Demetrius said they really didn't you know, provoke violence or anything. They weren't very violent. Everybody just loved them. They really funded a lot of Atlanta rap careers as well, because they expanded from Detroit to Atlanta to St. Louis. So they really had a whole empire across the nation. And look, I'm not condoning pushing crack in our communities, but it was the 80s and they did what they had to do. And it's just mind-blowing to me that they went from having a drug empire to going to jail to now getting a 50 Cent produced series on Stars where your own son plays you as the main character. Like, that's pretty dope. So Terry, he got out of jail. So yeah, sorry to ruin it for you, but yes, they did get caught. And the thing is, they had a very long drug reign empire, because I think they said that they really couldn't hold them. They really had nothing on them except that they were flashy. And Terry didn't like that about his brother Demetrius. Demetrius was very flashy. He had all the chains and cars and mansions. He had a huge, giant white compound in the early 2000s in Atlanta. Like, he literally had a mansion where they did business and operations. And so they never were able to catch them on anything until they finally got some audio tapes. And then it was Terry and Demetrius looking at 30 plus years. And so Terry got out of jail thanks to COVID, but Demetrius is still in jail as we speak. But as I said, his own son is playing him in the Stars show, and he's, you know, getting his input. So that's a little Black history for you. A quick and dirty on BMF, the Black Mafia family. And so in between seasons, because they're only on the second season, in between seasons, they also had a docuseries. So I just love all content. So I just eat it up. I'll watch the series. I'll watch the docuseries. I'll go on YouTube and Google it some more, you know? So if you want to watch, you know, the real life people and hear from the real life people, then definitely check out the docuseries. Also on Stars, that is titled Blowing Money Fast, BMF, Blowing Money Fast. And speaking of drugs and these drug empires, Snowfall is coming back. And is it a coincidence that Damson Idris posted that picture of him kissing Lori Harvey, announcing they're dating, about a month before the show airs its final season? I don't think so. I think that was some very good marketing on y'all's PR team. So kudos to y'all. But love to see it. Love Black Love. They're both beautiful Black people. And Damson Idris will be giving his final performance as Franklin in Snowfall. That's airing on February 22nd on FX. Can watch Next Day Like Me on Hulu. And so that's season 6. Wow, it's been an incredible journey. Just I'm just happy to see Black storytelling going beyond 3 seasons. I'm just happy to see us getting 5-6 seasons. And it's amazing that the show was able to go on without John Singleton after he passed, because he definitely started it and got it off the ground. Now, the real guy who the show is loosely based off of is Freeway Rick Ross. That's a mouthful. The OG Rick Ross, the kid who was pushing crack in LA. I don't think that he really had any involvement with the show. I don't think he really was too happy about that. I think he actually started a podcast about it. Typical nigga shit. Just go start a podcast about it. But yeah, Snowfall, whatever. It's been dramatized at this point, right? So anything could happen, final season. Who knows if it was a true story or not? I don't think so. I think we're completely gloves off now. Season 6. So that's why I'm saying, like, it did end with Freeway. The real life story ended with Freeway Rick Ross going to jail. But I don't know where this scripted show on FX could go. They might just kill him off. So it'll be really interesting to see how they conclude that. And another show that's coming to conclusion. Now, this one did only get 3 seasons, but it makes sense to just cap it off. Like, it's kind of a biographical docuseries, so it's only so far you could take it. This is about Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang and all, and I said, I almost said All-American. It's not an All-American. It's just an American. Wu-Tang and American Saga. That is going to be, again, on Hulu. That's a Hulu original. That airs February 15th. And that is all about, you know, the rise of the popular hip-hop group Wu-Tang Clan. And I really loved how in season 2, RZA really finally got it. You know, he really
grasp the concept of, like, collaboration, really putting his niggas on. He tried to do it by himself season one, you know, so now he's like, I'm a really, you know, do it with a group. And you see how they started to branch off and had their, you know, solo careers. So definitely want to get into season three. It is the final season. And if you've never watched it, check it out. My friend was actually an extra in an episode. I love seeing New Jersey black talent getting out there and just branching out. And speaking of All American, a guy I went to college with is actually going to be on this season. So it's really awesome to see amazing black talent, young black talent. I can't wait to see what the stars of Wu-Tang do next, because a couple of them have been in other projects. So you'll love to see it. And speaking of young black stars, Bel-Air returns on February 23rd. And this, I mean, it made the Black History episode, because fuck it, like, we want to see some black talent. And guess what? Will Smith makes history every day, because how did that man slap Chris Rock at the Oscars, get canceled by the Oscars for like 10 years, and still has an awesome show on Peacock? So guess what? He's still living his best life. He's doing well. And everybody on that show looks to be doing well. Coco Jones. I don't know why I was so behind on her singing career. Like, somebody put me on, and I just love her album. So yeah, shout out to Coco Jones. And I also want to talk about a docuseries that I got to see. Actually, I don't know if it's a docuseries or a documentary. I only started it. I didn't finish it, but I promised to finish it, because this is about one of my favorite black authors, Zora Neale Hurston. This is available on PBS. Zora Neale Hurston was an author, as I said. She was an anthropologist. And what was really interesting about her was that most anthropologists, you know, they studied and researched and documented people's lives, but nobody really studied their own people like she did. So that wasn't very popular in anthropology. She really was interested in all things black folk. So she did her research in Beaufort, South Carolina, and she knew that she really had to get people to trust her and really immerse herself into the culture. So they said, you know, you would see her playing the drums with people on the porch, or you know, always being curious. And that stems from her past. She's always been kind of a nosy girl ever since she grew up in Eatonville, Florida, which was one of few all-black towns. And so she was nosy, she was curious, she loved hearing people's stories. And that kind of just reminds me of myself. So shout out to Zora Neale Hurston. Reading Their Eyes Were Watching God in 10th grade, like, really changed my life. I just love her work, and it's really awesome to see her being recognized by, you know, documentaries like PBS. So make sure that you check that out. I just wanted to see if I had any other notes on her. Oh, yeah, they said that her content was really driven by integrity and passion. She was kind of seen as an outsider. But I think all creatives are, right? We're all kind of quirky and different. And so I just wanted to give that shout out to Zora Neale Hurston. Make sure you check out that documentary on PBS. And finally, I want to tell you about another docuseries, The 1619 Project. And now I'm about to do a little deep dive, y'all. So much to be said about 1619 Project. I don't even know where to begin. If you don't know what it is, The 1619 Project was a written work by Nicole Hannah Jones and the New York Times, best-selling, but it caused a stir. Remember when it came out and it caused a stir? It really shook people, and all she's doing is telling black history, which is American history, and people aren't comfortable with that. That's why they're trying to ban black history from schools. That's why they're trying to ban affirmative action. They're trying to rewrite history. They've been doing that, and it's not even rewriting it, we're just erased completely. And so that's what she's trying to shed light on. And so it was a written work, and now it's been produced into a 6-part limited docuseries on Hulu, executive produced by Oprah Winfrey and Nicole Hannah Jones. She really is the leading lady on this. And so the 6 episodes are titled Democracy, Race, Music, Capitalism, Fear, and Justice. They're adapted from essays from the New York Times 1619 Project. And so it really just examines how the legacy of slavery shapes different aspects of contemporary American life. And yes, I just read that from the Hulu website. But I just wanted to make sure I got the synopsis before I start getting my feelings and telling y'all about the episodes I watched, because I'm about to go off. Let's just start with the woman I told you about, Nicole Hannah Jones. So Nicole Hannah Jones, she is of mixed race. She has a black father and a white mother. And she said that she, you know, was always just identified as black. And her father, you know, he fought in the Vietnam War, came back and had that flag waving high and proud on the flagpole in front of their house. And Nicole Hannah Jones was like, I hated that flag because, like, what did America do for me? Like, fuck America, basically. But her dad was, like, really proud about it because he, you know, fought in the Vietnam War. And so the first episode, she goes into democracy. And it just starts out by how in 1619, we were brought here as slaves from different nations and all different Africans forced to become one culture. And that's still a problem today. We see that with, you know, even just sort of racism within our own community, African versus African American, whatever. But by virtue, she said, our bondage made us the most American of all. Everybody else here, and I hate to go back to you people and, you know, Jewish experience versus black experience, but I feel like everybody else kind of got some kind of reparations or some kind of leg up, even though, you know, the Holocaust was just as bad as slavery. I feel like Jewish people are still doing better than black people today. And so that's just facts. And that's what they talked about in that movie. So check it out. But, you know, she said that serving your country doesn't mean your country serves you. That was her comment about her father. And just how our contributions to America are undeniable, y'all. We literally built the White House. And so what's the one thing that they can really keep for power? Voting. Voting equals power. And so they talked about on that episode, the first episode of this docuseries, how we're seen as a democracy because of our freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom to protest. But black Americans don't got freedom. We still don't got freedom. And so we still have to fight to participate in democracy. And just going back to the not having freedom thing and thinking about Tyre Nichols, I was just talking to somebody, like, I feel like white people don't get in their car like, oh my God, gotta watch out for the police. Like, be careful, be safe out there. Like, I really say that to my loved ones every single day. Like, when they hit the road, like, be careful, these cops are out. And I just don't know if white people even have that same fear. Y'all probably just get in y'all car, la-di-da, going to the store. I don't know. Let me know if I'm wrong. But I just feel like we really have to be in fight or flight mode all the time. I'm so tired. But anywho, so we get into democracy, yada, yada. She said, black people have been the perfecters of our democracy. Like, we truly set the precedent for, like, fair and equal voting. Or at least we tried. They had an 80-something-year-old man on the docuseries talking about what he did to protect voters' rights. They hung him, y'all. They basically hung him by his feet. So just y'all got to watch this docuseries. I'm telling you, it was emotional. What we're taught about American history shapes our thinking of democracy. So just sit on that for a little bit. And we also get into how the American Revolution would not have been won without black people. Like, she was just hitting all these notes. And the whole 1619 Project is controversial because people are like, oh, this is a false narrative, blah, blah, blah. No, I believe everything that they said on this docuseries. And I believe that they had facts to back everything up. And so I firmly believe that the American Revolution would not have been won without black people. Just look at the numbers, please. Don't even try to come for me. Look at the numbers. Come for your mama. We freed the slaves, but guess what? They were left to their own mercy, to their own devices. They didn't have any resources. They didn't have, again, like I said, they didn't have a leg up. They didn't have a leg to stand on. And so they were at the mercy of their enslavers. Yet again, you freed us, but I'm still trying to get a job as a you know, indentured servant or something, because We didn't have any options out here. And they knew that. They freed the slaves and they left them illiterate and impoverished. And they knew that. And they used things like poll taxes to keep us from voting. So yeah, that episode went deep on democracy, y'all. They talked about how Black Americans have always believed in this country with a faith it did not deserve. I love that quote. Like, do y'all even have hope anymore? Do y'all even still have faith in this country at this point? Because they don't deserve it. This country does not deserve it. So they said that everything really went to shit, actually, after a section of the Voter Rights Act was invalidated in 2013 because they said America had moved on past racism and they deemed the act unnecessary. Well, guess what? Now they're showing the docuseries as recently as the midterms in November 2022. Elderly and disabled people are being turned around at the polls because, oh, you have the wrong zip code. You got to go 20 miles away. Elderly and disabled people are being turned away and told to go 20 miles away to vote. They're still doing this, y'all. So please wake up. You know, this elderly lady on the docuseries, she said, democracy is won generation to generation. She said the civil rights movement took time. We have to keep fighting. This is our Selma moment. On one hand, I feel that. On one hand, I'm like, yes, like, let's do it, y'all. We can do this. But on the other hand, y'all didn't show out for the midterms. So what's really good? So that really, I'm on the fence. I'm like, should I have hope in this country? I don't know. And again, sorry if y'all can hear me shaking the table, but I'm literally shaking the table because I'm just, everything they're saying is just spot on in this docuseries. They talked about how our protests inspired other protests, like, you know, the women's movement, the LGBTQ movement. And they talked about how, in short, Black people aren't the problem. We're the solution. And when will we get some motherfucking reparations? Like, all we want is to vote. Can you just let niggas vote? Like, come on now. So that was episode one. Episode two got into race. And really, what is race? And race defines us in America from beginning to end, from birth certificate to death certificate. And they really talked about how race is not biological. Because Nicole Hannah Jones. I'll be mixing up her name. Nicole Hannah Jones. She talked about how, you know, she's raising her child and her child's like, how come I'm not white? She's like, what do you mean? She's like, well, you and I have white skin. They're light skin. And, you know, daddy has black skin. So how come you and I don't check off white? And she was like, well, we're black. And she was like, but why? She was like, I don't really have an answer. And it's because race is not biological. It was invented to help perpetuate the system of slavery, generate profit, and sustain white supremacy. They literally talked about how, first of all, Black slaves were raped so damn much that, where's the statistic? I gotta give y'all the statistic. This is what I mentioned at the top. Rape of Black women by white men was so prevalent back during slavery times that 25% of the genetic makeup of Black Americans can be traced back to Europe through the paternal line. So that means we're all a quarter white at this point. And I can attest to that because I actually got my ancestry test and I was 27% European and I couldn't believe it. I mean, I should believe it because my dad looks to be of mixed race. But the point is, we're all mixed apparently. And it's just really sad when you break down the numbers. And they really dived into race. And they talked about how you wanted to rape our women and make them have children. And then once the child turns five, put the child to work. But you didn't want them to be declared white because you didn't want them to inherit all of your slave earnings. And so that's how race was really invented. And the laws that built the system were focused on controlling the sexual and reproductive rights of Black women, period. And so, you know, there were no clear-cut rules during slavery about biracial kids being born to slave mothers, as I said, so they just made this shit up in order to justify slavery's, in order to justify slavery, white people, including theologians and medical journals, they created a culture that treated African descendants as a distinct and inferior race, part of God's plan. They're better than us. And they put that in the medical journals and they created different skeletons for Black people. And they, y'all, this episode, I'm telling you, I was just like, it's not that we don't know, but when I really see it all laid out, I'm just like, ugh, they did us so dirty. From the very beginning, we didn't have a chance. And we were still resilient. We still did that. Didn't have a chance, but still did that. I think that's the title of this episode. I'm going to figure it out. I'll workshop it. But honestly, like, they did experiments on Black people's bodies, especially Black women. The field of gynecology was literally invented on enslaved women. They operated without anesthesia because guess what? They claimed Black women were immune to pain, quote unquote. So Black women's experiences went ignored and unrecorded for the most part. We do have a few recordings, just glimpses of what they went through. But in short, enslaved Black people were bred like animals because the flow of slaves from Africa was cut off in 1808. I didn't even put this together. Like, they at some point they stopped slavery, which means they stopped like bringing people in. And so the rape of Black women became more prominent to keep slavery going with new slaves. And by 1860, despite this congressional ban, enslaved population grew from 700,000 to 4 million. So y'all grew even more when they cut the slave trade off. And so, as I said, the rape of Black women was very prominent during this time. There were many miscarriages, stillborns. Infant mortality was high because of the trauma Black women endured while pregnant during slavery. They had to literally go out into the field, out into their third trimester. They were begging for a break. And then we see the same thing happening right now with Black women. Black women going ignored and undocumented. I mean, this research going unrecorded. Somebody said that if white babies were dying at the rate of Black babies, that there would be more research being done. And so we see a contemporary connection from slavery to present time. Black women are still struggling in pregnancy and motherhood. And, you know, just to put some numbers around it, Black women die in childbirth at nearly 3 times the rate of white women. This is a public health crisis. And even Serena Williams had childbirth issues like this. This is not just a socioeconomic issue. And that's what they touched on this documentary. Like, this is just a bias and racism issue. You know, we need to contribute more to Black women's lives and their babies because there's an extreme bias effect in medical treatment right now. So yeah, after all that shit that we endured, then interracial sex and marriage was banned in 1924 with the Racial Integrity Act, which instituted the one-drop rule. Literally, there was a one-drop rule in this act originated by Virginia. But guess what? 37 states quickly caught on and they also were on board. So yeah, that just led us to the Loving versus Virginia case in 1967 about interracial marriage. You know, then we see these caricatures of Black women as the Jezebel, as the loud mouth sapphire, as the mammy. These Black women stereotypes actually drive policy today, like welfare. We see who do people mostly talk about? The welfare queen, a Black woman. That's what they think of. So race is not just race. Race is really access to employment, access to resources, and how you're valued in society. So wow, I really just enjoyed watching those first two episodes, and I can't wait to talk about music. That next episode's going to be great. Can't wait to watch that. And then that's followed by capitalism. And then the fifth episode is fear, and the sixth and final episode will be called justice. So that is what to watch for Black History Month, y'all. That's a wrap on episode 172. Damn, we getting old, y'all. Episode 172. Happy Black History Month. I know this episode had a lot going on, from Beyonce to Tyre Nichols. I just want us to be able to find peace, find balance. I want us to be able to have joy. I want us to be able to rise and thrive. So I know we have a lot going on, but just try to stay strong, try to stay resilient. Remember, I really just don't know how our ancestors did that. I don't know how they got through this. I'm getting through a sinus infection. I'm like, I need medicine right now. Enslaved Black women was out here with no medicine, no treatment, having babies. So yeah, y'all, just keep your head up. Remember the strength of our ancestors. If you liked what you heard today, you can follow the podcast. You know, subscribe wherever you're listening and follow at the YBO podcast. And I'll be back soon with another episode. Bye.